You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
You are listening to the one and only IT in the D Show. This is episode 202. Guests include Sola O'Brien talking about Social Media Day Detroit.
And Sola O'Brien.
And then
talking about social media.
Sola is running solo as a guest tonight.
I'm a star.
All right. Hey, before we dive in, though, so the Couchbase Engagement Database is the first and only database specifically designed to deliver the brilliant digital experiences that keep customers coming back for more. Built on the most powerful NoSQL technology, the Couchbase data platform gives you unparalleled agility, manageability, and performance at any scale. Now you can give your customers continuously richer and more personalized experiences across all your web, mobile, and Internet of Things apps. Learn more at couchbase.com/IT in the D. That's couchbase.com/IT in the D.
Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT in the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything with that!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly.
Come on.
What tries? What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT in the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. So, Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
I know.
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, this is Zach McGowan from Planet Earth. You're listening to IT in the D Show.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
Hey, everybody, this is Tony Todd. What's happening? You may know me from Candyman, The Rock, Sushi Girls, Zoom, Night of Living Dead. A lot of pop culture media madness. Anyway, you're listening to IT in the D Show. Business.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, a Jet Striker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the McGumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guys. Ho!
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome. Thank you for listening. This is the IT in the D Show, episode 202, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit.
And you're in the red already.
In beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob, the sales guy, hanging out with Dave, the geek. Nuri the FNG is on location.
Somewhere.
Find us online, itinthed.com. Follow us on all the social and subscribe to us everywhere. Find podcasts are sold. Do us a favor. Mark your calendars. This Thursday, the 29th of June, we have our – this is our fourth podcaster meetup we've done, and it's going to be at Selena's right down the street from our studio here in 11 Mile and 75 in Royal Oak. Basically, it's the same thing as our IT socials, but for podcasters, come on out. No speakers. No one's going to sell you anything. No one's going to take your name. Just hang out, talk with podcasters about podcasting and
properties of podcasting
and properties of podcasting.
It'll be demented and sad, but social, I'm sure.
Hey, this segment is brought to you by our friends at Norton. All of us have internet at home. All of us have a Wi-Fi router. No one secures them.
Some of us have more than one. No, actually, some of us do.
You secure yours. I don't. You know, honestly, think of all the stuff that you keep on your computer between pictures, credit card info, just like baby monitors, all your IoT stuff.
All
that's
those
wide
saved
open.
Passwords, all those, yeah.
Norton by Symantec. If you know them, obviously, we've all had Symantec on our computer at one point in our lives. For the last 30 years, they've been in and around our computers. They built a secure Wi-Fi router called Norton Core. At first glance, it's cooler than any router you've ever seen. But don't be fooled. It's not just glitz and glamour. Underneath their stylish exteriors, powerful security technology helps turn your home Wi-Fi network into a digital fortress. They discovered personal connected devices, identifies vulnerabilities, and helps secure them. And they quarantine the threat if your device is breached. They also feature, this is cool for us dads, parental controls that let you decide when and where your kids go on the internet. Oh, I like that. 8 o'clock, no more.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a nice little touch right there.
And there's a dual 1.7 gigahertz processor, so you get blazing internet speeds as fast as even for Nuri's gig internet that he gets from Comcast at home. Do us a favor. Get the security that you need, the speed what you want with Norton Core. Go to norton.com/ITinTheD to save $30 if you pre-order before August 1st. Norton.com/ITinTheD.
I got mine on order.
And I must, for the record, I have Norton.
Norton. Norton. Hey, so speaking of quarantining threats, let's kick off with the phenomenal story coming out of Canada. We don't often talk about Canada, and when we do, it's usually, I'm not your guy, buddy.
They have the internet in Canada?
They apparently, I don't know what they have in Canada. They have snipers in Canada. Who knew? And the sniper from this Canadian sniper just not only broke but destroyed the previous record for a confirmed kill when he took out one of the ISIS leadership from two miles away.
That was
with a shot.
So not only so think about this for a second. Count to 10 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Just count them off. That's bullet leave and bullet make guy go bye-bye.
Yeah.
In 10 seconds. And that thing, you have to account for
wind.
Not just wind.
Dude, moving.
The it's for the flat earth people. Sorry, this is going to break your
there is an arc.
It accounts for the earth's arc and for I think it's an 18-inch drop. If I'm not mistaken.
Per mile, I think, yeah.
Yeah. So you have to like go that much higher. Like for 2 miles, you have to go almost a yard above the target to count for the drop, and it was confirmed.
But dude, no, that's insane to me.
Canadian marksmanship, that goes hand in hand. Like those, like when you're kids, you learn how to marksman. Like the biathlon, the Winter Olympics, like when they have those.
Wait, that exists outside of like, what was it, The Spy Who Loved Me?
Yes.
I thought they just created that for the James Bond movie. No.
It's true.
All right.
But they, you know, kids shoot rifles at like, you know.
Well, I mean, there's moose. You got to protect yourself from the moose.
Right. The dangerous
moose.
Bears
and moose.
Right. Not the Randy kind of bears, but bears.
Right. I told you I got asked this weekend if Tommy guns, because, you know, we got the Tommy gun vodka sitting out there.
Right.
If Tommy guns really were a thing or if they were just created for Home Alone.
No, it's for the movies.
That was pretty amazing.
It's for the movies.
Yeah.
So last week we talked about, you know, automation is becoming a regular topic here. And we were talking about, hey, fast food kids, look out. There's a robot that can flip burgers 400 an hour. Mm-hmm. You're all screwed. Well, guess what, Mr. Hedge Fund Manager?
You're next.
You're next. So we're not just coming after the people making nothing.
Well, but if you think about
coming after money managers.
But if you think about it, this actually makes perfect sense because I didn't quite get it when I clicked into the article, but the more I read, the more perfectly logical it sounded. Because a hedge fund manager just recognizes patterns. That's what they do. They analyze data.
It's a hedge bet.
They recognize patterns, right. And away they go. Well, that's no different than intrusion detection systems. It's no different than what you're doing with your new day job. The predicated or preemptive security checks and all that kind of stuff. Why wouldn't an algorithm be better, faster, stronger at that than a human?
Than a people.
Yeah.
And he's not going to cost you $1 million a year.
Oh, yeah, because what was it? They said they tend to take 2% of the transaction plus like an annual maintenance fee and yada, mm-hmm. yada. And like, oh, yeah, no, there's just people writing code galore that are just making them obsolete. Sorry.
I don't want to say it's becoming a quarter's world, but it is. Like, I was sitting next to guys, auto guys, that they go, I'd love to get a promotion, but I don't know that code. And these guys are on the line at the Chryslers. And so that was a Michigan way to say it. the Chryslers. But no, all those guys, the tool guys, like not like my dad, my uncle, and everybody that I grew up with, you basically have to learn code to even run these machines these days.
Oh, yeah. That's when my father-in-law decided it was time for him to get out of being a millwright at Chrysler, was when they started, bringing all the computers in and trying to break. And he was just like, yeah, this isn't what I signed up for. I'm going to go ahead and retire.
There's no way to get around it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you want to be a welder like Jimmy, I don't think you need – but you still need for arc, I don't know what he does for a living, but I think you still have to know.
He welds.
You have to know the computers.
And he welds stuff, and he does properties of welding.
No, but if you want to read the article, it's on Bloomberg, calling robots are eating money managers' lunch.
Yeah, no, we'll throw the link out. I'm
pretty,
sure.
Pretty interesting.
But in that same vein, from the auto industry, we've talked about WannaCry a bunch of different times,
right?
And apparently, it's still out there. It's still floating around. It's still causing issues. Like, for example, the Honda plant in Japan that had to be shut down because it was thoroughly infested.
No, I don't think you spoke to that in the brevity of that happening. Like, lines getting shut down costs like hundreds of thousands of dollars per second.
I remember Dennis Walsh, CTO at GM, back when I was there, I remember him with his giant pumpkin head and his X-Force Recon Marine body and slamming his big old ham fist down on a table, pointing out that every time a line stopped, it was like $10,000 per second.
That was 20 years ago.
That's true.
This was an entire plant.
Yeah.
So, and I love, it comes from Technica, arstechnica.com, and I love how they slip this one in. Honda shuts down factory after finding NSA-derived WannaCry.
Because it's the WannaCry variant, WCry,
right?
That took the weaponized portions of it that somebody grabbed from the NSA.
That got dropped in a WikiLeak.
Yeah, and they just recompiled it and re-released it with that,
right?
But yeah,
Who's having a good week this week?
Not the Japanese Honda plant.
No, gamers.
Game. Oh, you know what? Well, I'm going to go yes and no.
Well, there's a lot of one-upmanship going on right now. So the three big ones is
the first one that came out was Sega.
A Sega on the Android, which is I don't play Sonic the Hedgehog on my phone. Sorry.
But you will.
I will. Totally.
You know you will.
Atari, which
it's Box,
yeah,
is the
but
name
like,
of it.
Who's coming out with what? Like, are they going to deliver Activision titles like old school?
Well, or is
or
it going to
their own?
Is it going to try to compete with the
Nintendo,
Xbox and PS4?
Yeah.
Or is it going more the Nintendo route? Or is it going the more retro arcade route? And if you watch the little teaser trailer they released, it was like a couple of weird shots of this thing that looked like, from a finish perspective, an old 2600 console. Because it had
it's not a retro unit.
So, but it had that. No, it's not supposed. We don't know what it. Nobody knows what the hell it is.
Right.
But it's got that like faux wood panel.
As
it should. That the 2600 had. But yeah, so they announced that the box is coming, and but nothing else.
Like develop. What are they going to run on it? Yeah. Right. Well, we're all going to go buy one anyway.
Well, I'm totally going to go buy one.
But like. That's the thing that got me was, my kid's birthday just passed and I looked at the Nintendo Switch for about 10 seconds and decided, no, you get no more of my money, Nintendo, after the what you did with the Wii U. You know, I bought the Wii. Now I went and bought the Wii U. And no, I'm not buying a new console again in what, 2 years?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I don't know if they – because where Nintendo torqued me off and where I stopped buying them for a while, like after – I think after the 64, I stopped buying them for a while because I got annoyed with – every time they came up with a new console, there was a new game format. Like their cartridges, their mini cartridges, their slightly bigger cartridges, their smaller cartridges, their discs, their mini discs, da 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 da. So every time you bought a new console, you either had to keep your old console up and running as well, or you had to go out and rebuy the games.
See, the Wii U is retroactive.
So is the Wii.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, they finally, you know, like, they got smart about it, but, like, I don't know if the Switch is.
It's not.
Of course not.
And then the last one is the one we'll never get our hands on is the SNES Retro, because wasn't that the big thing last Christmas? You can't get your hands on
but
those?
You can pre-order them directly from Nintendo. Like, you don't have to go through a store like for these. You can, but you can pre-order them directly from Nintendo.
Can I just order on Amazon and just make my
– and just have it show up at my house?
Oh, my God.
It's coming out September 29th.
Speaking of which
– what?
Shipped saved my life Saturday. I need to talk about this.
Last night a DJ saved your life?
Yes, totally. So, like, we all thrown parties before, and what's the worst thing? Having to go buy the pop and the water and the ice and all of the stuff.
Right.
I ordered it all from Shipt and had it delivered to the hall we were having the party at. And I tipped $20 and I asked if they could put it all on the bar, and I have to touch a damn thing. It was the most beautiful.
Why do I not do that for here?
I don't know.
I just – I ding.
Don't go to the store no more. And she was so thankful. I said, I got $20 to put everything on the bar. And she said, oh, my God. She goes, I don't even care if you tip me because, like, I've already lost, like, 8 pounds doing this in 2 weeks. I cut my gym membership because I'm, like, so I don't mind. I go, you got the worst order ever. You got, like, 42 liters, you know.
Right.
And, like, all this ice. She goes, I love it. This is my gym time. Like, and I get paid for it.
Awesome.
Saved my life, though. I'm like, oh, my God, so good. And I got the,
yeah, you would have not been happy.
No, I would have not been happy. And then I had a Qdoba deliver. I mean, it's turning into an amazing world right now where I don't have to touch a damn thing.
You know where you don't want to touch a damn thing right now? Arizona. Apparently, the normal temperatures this week are in excess of 110 degrees to the point where people have started posting things that are having issues with the heat.
Trash cans melting.
All the things.
Mailboxes all melting. I love that the one guy had a picture. Oh, yeah, my neighbor put in this plastic wall that it looked like a fake stone wall. Melted. Street signs. Melting.
I love the cookies in the dashboard.
People baking cookies on their dashboard in an hour. That's
is
ridiculous.
Is this breaking news, though? It's hot in Arizona?
I think it's excessively hot. I mean, it's even for there, well, it's really hot.
But
it's a dry heat. Yeah, great. Yeah. So is an oven. Yeah.
Right. But I love it. The global warming's real. I'm like, 1990 was the worst year. That was 120 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, I love the guy driving with the oven mitts.
Right.
Because his steering wheel was too hot.
I mean,
And then this one, I knew this part was going to freak you out. It was too hot for planes to fly.
That's nuts.
It's literally, the air is too warm.
It's like the tires sticking to the asphalt, like my sandals.
It's literally too hot for Bernoulli's principle to work. Like the air.
No, but I thought they have longer run. I read that. I thought they had longer runways in Arizona.
Not long enough.
Because in Mexico City, they have like the longest runway because of the elevation.
Well, but that's why. But it's still too hot for planes to take off.
Dude,
they're canceling flights because hot.
Yeah. So. An interesting thing came out today, and I don't know if we're going to argue about this or if you're on my side with this, is the Walmart thing. And it's kind of bananas. Like, it's one thing, and Walmart has a very long history of trashing on their vendors, like Vlasic, Rubbermaid, almost destroying companies. So now
– I wouldn't necessarily call it trashing on. I would call it enforcing predatory
almost putting them out of business
rules.
Because they wanted the $3 pickle jar is the most famous case study. They wanted a big, huge bucket of pickles.
And Vlasic at the edge of bankruptcy finally went F you.
Yeah. Rubbermaid too was the same. Yep. Was the same thing. But now Walmart's got the. I'm going to flat out say it, they got the balls to tell their vendors that they shouldn't be hosting.
No, they shouldn't be
using,
that they cannot
right,
be
on AWS.
Yeah,
like flat out. So if I'm Vlasic and I just put my infrastructure, whatever it be, in AWS, if I want to do business with Walmart, I got to move everything to Azure.
I wonder how much of a kickback they're getting from Microsoft.
See, that just changes the whole thing for me. Microsoft is sitting there going, why would you have your vendor? Is it ever going to get to a point where vendors are just going to say it's not worth it to do business with you?
God, I hope so.
For real.
I really, really do. God, I hope so.
I haven't heard as many bad stories. This is the first one that's come out in a while because the last couple of years it's all been about not
paying
people.
Workers and, yeah, the part-time.
But this one, like Puma, Adidas, whatever, and it's like, hey, you got to use Azure. Like,
nope.
I just spent how much? Like,
well, yeah, and what do you care what my web services that you call?
On. Yeah.
What do you care?
Like, you don't have to go
What's
to my
next?
Portals.
I can't buy Dell. I got to buy HP. You're going to tell me what I can drive back and forth to work?
Right.
But, yeah.
Kiss my ass.
Yeah. No.
It's like
no,
a slow roll rant ready on this one. Get the Godfather. No, for real, though. Like, you can't dictate. Yeah, right. Like, your guys have Apple laptops. Like, I'm not doing business with you.
Yeah.
What?
No, stupid. Like,
totally.
So the next dumb one, though, that I and this – so Iowa is apparently the last remaining bastion of the landline. And the local telco out there has decided that for their DSL customers – because everybody wants – if you can't get cable, you got to get DSL. If you do not want a landline, you must pay them $80 to not have a landline.
So here's where I come into play on this because this was my business in 2004. So I
That's
sold.
Great. That's 13 years ago.
Listen, though. not too many people realize these things exist. They're called ILECs.
Yep.
They're small pockets of – they're either small counties or small cities. There's like 17 of them in Michigan. Iowa's got a bunch. They all got a bunch. Ogden I recognized from doing business with them, which is the phone company you're talking about in Iowa. They're basic. They're farmer-owned cooperative, in essence, monopolies.
Yeah,
Verizon's not in there. AT&T's not in there. Comcast isn't in there.
Because no, but yeah, it's like 14 people. So why?
Well, it's a town. I mean, they
more than 14.
Yeah. I mean, some of them were 30,000 lines. Some of them were like 5,000.
Yeah.
So I mean, they're not awful sized. But for them to dictate, if you don't have a landline, you're getting charged $80. They're going to get their building lit on fire.
Yeah, probably. There's going to be a farmer's revolution.
No, but seriously, or they're going to find out a way not to use them. Because that's the thing with them owning that monopoly. The city managers are going to, hey, Verizon, can you please come? Right.
Yeah,
right.
Please come down. So couple things from the world of entertainment and media. So one, everybody saw the news that Ron Howard has taken the helm of the Han Solo movie.
After reading everything, thank God.
Well, because, you know, I think that was one of the – like it was like early in the week that the first link for this got shot out with, you know, it was just Ron Howard taking over because of the disaster with the directors and stuff, people that were on staff. But then you read the stuff about how the actor is so bad that they brought in an acting coach.
Yeah.
That's a no good.
Well, the thing is, you bring in two directors that claim to fame are 21 Jump Street and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and apparently they wanted to turn this into a Chips, yuck, affair. And as soon as they announced they're getting fired, and these clowns, I guess, didn't want to start work until noon. Like, they took disco naps because they're all getting wasted. Like, and usually you'd have like 6-7 shots by noon, you know. Apparently there was this huge applause when they said, these clowns are out, Ron Howard's in, place went bananas. Like,
right. Well, and it's, you know, and, you know, for people that, you know, don't remember the history there, you know, you've got the little tie. I mean, even though he's not really around anymore, you've got George Lucas, you know, with Ron Howard and American Graffiti and now moving forward into Star Wars.
It's not just that. Ron Howard was the guy that came to the defense of Jake Lloyd.
Yeah.
When everybody was trash. Like,
who apparently just got transferred to a mental hospital. I don't know if you saw that story that just came out today.
Oh, great.
He's apparently still not doing well at
Annie?
All. Yeah. Annie, are you okay? No, he's not.
And you know what? So Campbell's just overtook Wendy's and Taco Bell's, my favorite social media team. So I don't know if you follow this or not, Sola. Campbell's put out a little commercial with two dads, like
Star Wars themed.
Star Wars, like my two dads doing like Chewbacca and Darth Vader voices, feeding the kids soup.
Oh yeah, because the one dad gives him a spoonful of soup and says, "I am your father," and then the other dad goes, "Oh, no, I am your father."
Right.
And apparently this annoyed people.
So, like, people are going off on Campbell's Kitchen, going like Campbell, like the Facebook page. "I'm so sick of this homosexual agenda. You sell soup. Please take this ad down or you'll not have a company anymore."
I saw that.
So, like, yeah, Campbell's just went savage. And it's just like, you know, somehow you mistook two men feeding their kids soup as pornographic. Like, it's quite a leap. What are you thinking? And really, they went all in. Savage without reading all these things.
Stuff like that makes me so happy when companies actually use their voice to not play that customer is always right
and not apologize for
and don't back down and just basically tell people exactly what effing morons.
Here's a great line. They basically said, "Hey, we were under the impression the advert was just a video of a loving family," which it obviously was. And he said there was no signs of flashing lights, although I personally suggested flashing lights and a rainbow would have been fabulous, suggesting it would have been something other than a family. "We're not taking the advert down, you know. Our dads trained way too long to perfect those Darth Vader and Chewbacca impersonations." Right? They're just like, own it. Like, again, yeah. I said that like back when, like, Kathy Griffin, if you're going to do something that stupid,
own it.
Just go down with your shit.
You know what? I thought it was going to be hilarious. In my head, it was amazing.
Here's my foot in my mouth.
Right.
I'm not going to say I'm sorry because I tried and failed miserably. But, like, thank you, Campbell's, for owning this. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to buy – what am I going to buy if I can't buy Campbell's anymore?
But it's like it's the same thing that happened when they started featuring interracial couples, you know, in commercials.
Yep.
And there was this big backlash. Yeah.
Was
right?
It was a breakfast cereal that did that.
It was one of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was For the Heart, right?
It wasn't like Honey Nut Cheerios.
Was it Honey Nut Cheerios?
With their low cholesterol. Yeah.
And that got a lot of backlash.
See, here's my thing.
People were very uncomfortable with it.
300 million people in this country, there's nothing that's not going to piss off five people. There's nothing you can do that five people aren't going to tweet it out. And then BuzzFeed now picks up these five tweets and goes, "People are offended by
millions outraged.
Right. By unicorn frap at Starbucks. Unicorn lovers are offended. The use of
they're making fraps out of unicorns."
Right. Like, I think it just gotten to that point where people are just going to. Five of them are going to. People don't suck. There's just five people in every category that's going to hate life.
But do you guys go into the comments? Do you deep dive into
the
comments? Oh my God. And sometimes there's hundreds of them.
Oh, it's the most icy cantina. It's the most, you'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy than like Freep, Detroit News, CNN story comments ever. Mm-hmm.
And the worst ones are the ones without the real picture. They always have like the fake.
It's the
name.
Twitter egg.
Yeah.
Trolling. Right. Yep. And I think they, you know, and it's funny because Freep comments, anything that's political, there's one guy who posts on three times on every single one. Like, do you have a job? Like, are you winning? Like, what do you do? Like, is this like
what need is this fulfilling in your life to post these comments?
Arg, this political party.
Rubble.
Right. Hopefully I changed three. Like, no, because there's people on Reddit.
Nobody's mind has ever been changed by a Facebook post.
No, but I've seen people on Reddit type that the it does influence people. Like what I'm writing matters because I might influence one person in rural South Dakota to think like me, and it's worth it. And good luck with that. Because
that's the Jedi mind trick only works on weak-minded fools.
Right, but I'm not a stormtrooper for crying out loud.
So the creepy one, though, actually there were two creepy ones that I want to make sure we hit real quick. Google
Maps.
Well, no, tour Google. So actually, I'll start with the Facebook one. So Facebook, we've talked about this for like 2 years now. That stupid, annoying pop up that always came up. "Hey, Bob's nearby. You should get coffee."
Stacey Cotton was at my kid's party and it said Stacey's nearby. I got a push notification.
Okay, well, turn off nearby friends because that's why that does.
I know
that we've been telling people for 2 years, and
sorry,
you still haven't done that.
Doesn't bother me.
Whatever. Google has finally announced, hey, you know what? When medical records from hospitals and et cetera get breached, we're going to go ahead and keep those out of search results. And my That's awfully nice of him.
My first thought was they were in search results?
Yes.
Like my private medical records were in search results.
Well, so you think about it. So place gets breached.
Right.
Somebody grabs dump.
Right.
Post dump somewhere on internet. That then gets linked to by Google. Dude, the spiders don't know. Bots are bots. They just go, okay, new content. And put it in the database.
And then they just announced to everyone that your stuff might have been public.
Your stuff might have been there for a while, yeah. So that'll be amazing. But, yeah, the last one.
I don't like this one.
The last one kind of creeped me out a little bit.
I don't
bit.
Like this one at all.
So there's
no. It goes back to an age-old argument we've had about –
don't you dare track me.
Don't you dare track me, but don't you dare take away my GPS with traffic results. Like, right? I can't win.
Right.
You can't win, Rock.
So that you can't win. So there's a link, and we'll pop the link in the recap, I'm sure. Yeah, you click the link, and it shows you exactly. And I went back for a while through several – I sat there and scrolled through several phones' worth of data. That's how far it goes back. Every place you've been, when you were there, how long you were there, and just
whew. Unless you murder someone, that information's useless.
I don't care. I don't like it being out there.
Well, so here's the thing, though. You know, Match.com. You know, it's. I've been seeing ads.
That right? commercial's so
really
creepy.
Targeting me specifically, the one about people nearby.
Yes.
Like, oh, you went to the same coffee shop. Oh, you guys go to the same location. I'm like, my God,
that was the foundation
that.
Of that organic. Those organic
yes,
guys. Remember
yes,
them?
Yes.
And like
nearby.
And we had Erica and Elise in here. This was, oh my God, this was back in the Ferndale studio. And it was the whole, oh yeah, so and so's nearby. And like
yeah,
Erica and Elise
Southwest,
both lost their minds. Yeah. Just nuts.
Absolutely.
Well, that was the thing today. I'm texting my buddy in Clawson who's having a drink and he had a question for me. And I went to go eat in Clawson. And I didn't want him to know I was eating because he's like, why didn't you invite me? Because I was just out with my wife and I was going very quickly. Like, I don't want people to know where I'm at sometimes.
Right.
Right?
That's the whole Foursquare thing, though. When I was living in New York, I talked to a lot of women in tech professionals. And they said that they would actually post their location when they were leaving.
Leaving. Yep.
Not while
Yeah, they would check in as they were leaving. Yeah.
Exactly.
The fact that you have to think it that far through is could not be scarier to me.
Agreed.
But the one I like, and I think I'm going to try it. I registered domains like nobody's business, and I get robocalls.
Oh, you and I both.
And I get the IRS calls
because we're dumb.
And I get this.
This is IRS.
Yeah, I know.
There is legal action pending.
We'll call the cops
against you. Calling the cops.
So apparently there's a thing there's a program called the Jolly Roger Telephone Company.
Yep.
And the Jolly Roger Telephone Company is when a robocall comes, it will turn it over to basically an AI script that will keep it interested for as long as humanly possible while you have nothing to do with it. So it's basically like handing the phone to your 2-year-old and telling them it's Santa Claus.
Oh yeah, which is still the best.
If you don't have a 2-year-old at your disposal. Jolly Roger Telephone Company. And
I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be grabbing that one.
As soon as they say is Robert there, I'm click. Like it's getting so out of hand. I'm getting 5 a day minimum. Minimum 5 a day.
Yeah. No, easily.
So hey, we're going to take a quick break.
Before we do the run.
So before we take a quick break, this break is sponsored by our friends at Carvana. Remember the last time you bought a car? Was it a good experience going to the dealership haggling with a salesperson? Probably not.
Probably not.
Last time I bought a car, it took me 4 hours. That's right, 4 hours on my Saturday dealership. It sucked, but I just thought that was a reality of car buying. Then I learned about Carvana. It is the nation's leading online car company. Get this. You can buy a car online from over 7,000 certified company-owned cars, then have it delivered to you as soon as the next day, or you can pick it up at the world's first coin-operated car vending machine.
Now, this is completely accurate because back when – I mean, you know what I do for my day job.
Yeah.
And when I was designing the front end for the new shopping tools, this was one of the competitive analysis that we went through was these guys. And they do. They quite literally have – I want to say it's in Pennsylvania essentially a garage – like a parking garage, but it's outfitted. I mean, it's a vending machine. Like you say, I want B8, and the little arms come out.
It's like the crane game at the bowling alley.
Oh, and then it goes and gets your car and bring. And it doesn't push the car off and make it tumble down to land like a vending machine. But no, it's very, very cool stuff.
So And the cool, so it's like shipped for cars. They bring it to you.
Totally.
And every car comes with a 7-day return policy. You can see if the car fits your life, return it for a refund. If it doesn't, that is way better than a 10-minute test drive with a sales guy. Plus, Carvana has no sales guy, so all you have to do – so you don't have to pay for one of them either. That means serious savings on their vehicles. Do us a favor. Skip the dealership. Buy a car online. Check out Carvana. That's Carvana.com/IT in the D to learn more. That's Carvana, Carvana.com/IT in the D. It's the new way to buy a car.
And no joke, it is actually really cool stuff. I would just go play around with it and see what it does because it's pretty sweet. I like them.
So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Sola Abayan from the Social Media Day Detroit. This is the IT in the D show. And since Nuri's not here, I'll say we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Segment 2. This is the IT in the D, episode 202, broadcasting live here in Studio One, Podcast Detroit, in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy.
Well, beautiful in the pouring down rain currently.
Sorry. But yeah. Blame it on the rain. That's Dave the Geek. Find us online, itinthed.com. And like I said, follow us on all the social and subscribe to us everywhere fine podcasts are sold.
So, hey, before we get rolling, HelloFresh is on a mission to save home cooking because, well, it's just too good to go away. They want to make home cooking more fun, so they focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. They like to think of themselves as a farm-to-box company because they want everybody to have access to fresh ingredients that inspire great meals, but they don't stop there. They're also a couch-to-kitchen company because the best way to kick those 5 p.m. excuses, which we all get, I don't want to cook, let's just call out. I think we all do that more often than we care to admit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Oh,
high apps on my phone that bring – yeah.
I've got Grubhub Italian. That's how lazy I've gotten in the past.
Actually, I love HelloFresh. I do use it.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Fantastic. So do we.
So, boy, yeah.
So the best way to kick those 5 p.m. excuses is by feeling unstoppable in the kitchen. And they do even more than that. They're also proud to be a fork to feel good company, too, because when you cook and eat delicious and healthy meals, you want to keep doing it again and again. If they could do the dishes for you, they would, but their number one priority is to help you get cooking. HelloFresh currently offers customers a classic box, a veggie box, and a family box. Customers can order 3 to 5 different meals per week designed for two or four people. New recipes are created every week. The recipes will make you feel unstoppable, and your taste buds will thank you. In 6 easy to master steps. I'm not gonna lie, like that's one of the cool things that I really like about HelloFresh is that it's not like a 6-page recipe. It's like
one page.
Chop this.
Yeah, 8 steps.
Cut that. Add this. Simmer that.
And you just
mix.
And you cook something you would never make at home that you order out at restaurants. That, oh my god, that looks really good.
Yeah.
But you know, like with dishes though, like simplicity is what brings out the flavor the most.
Well, yeah. And when you don't have to use 17 different pots right. and exactly. pans to make something.
Right.
Yeah. So they get you chopping, zesting, and cooking like a natural because most of the recipes take just 30 minutes and require minimal equipment. They're constantly experimenting in the kitchen to let fresh, natural ingredients shine. They offer ever-changing menus, classic ingredients in a new light, and easy-to-follow recipes that help you avoid that food coma and feel good inside and out. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking more fun so you can focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. Every week, HelloFresh delivers new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks, as Nuri likes to claim that he is, and he's not here to defend himself, so yeah, I'll just smack him around.
No, the cool, thing is like 4th of July weekend, we're traveling, so I hit pause.
Right.
And you can pick it back up. You can have it scheduled any time, any day you want. I mean, it could not be more flexible. It's one of the coolest services I subscribe to.
Yeah. No, and it's just like we were just talking. So it's the freshest ingredients measured to the exact quantities needed. So there's no food waste. That's, I like that too. Like herbs that I would never go to the store and buy, but they're there in the little container.
Right.
And it's not how, no, you just take it out, cut it.
Yeah.
And you're done. Or chop it or mince it or whatever they want. Hey, here's 2 garlic cloves. That's what you
right,
need.
I don't have to buy yeah, right, 3 pack.
Yeah, exactly. They do – HelloFresh employs 2 full-time registered dietitians on staff who review each recipe to ensure it's nutritionally balanced. They deliver food to your doorstep in a recyclable, insulated box for free. That's one of the cool things that I've always really liked about them as well is I don't care if stuff has sat on the porch for like 5 hours. when I bring it inside, it's still cold.
Never had
it's
a bad
still
fresh. I've never had a bad vegetable.
Nothing's
once.
Been wilted.
Not
it's
once.
Amazing. So HelloFresh is now offering light summer meals and has just introduced breakfast options. So here's what we do. Where you're going to go, you're going to go to HelloFresh.com, and our unique promo code is ITINTHED30. So for $30 off your first week of deliveries, visit HelloFresh.com and enter ITINTHED30 when you subscribe. Nice and easy. Can't really think much easier than that. It's $30 off, and it's not that expensive to start with.
Yeah.
So give it a shot. So it's HelloFresh.com. Enter the code ITINTHED30, and away you go.
Awesome. And our guest this segment, Sola Obayan from the Social Media Association of Michigan.
What up?
What? How you doing?
I'm wonderful.
And it's 3 minutes to 10. That means it's all, the show's over. So Sola, thanks for hanging out with
right.
us.
Right. Let it roll.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, so I'm trying to remember. So I know you were on our show when we were at the Russell.
Yeah.
Did you ever make it to the Ferndale studio?
No, I don't believe so.
I didn't. I was going to say I didn't think you did because
no,
I know we came down and did the event downtown.
Yeah. Yeah,
this event actually downtown last
year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or was it 2 years ago?
Yep,
God, it's been forever. And then here. Okay, so cool.
Yeah.
So hey, this is the new place.
It's wonderful. It's beautiful. Seriously, it's amazing.
We've grown up a little bit since the Russell.
So Sola is here because you have an event coming up this Friday, Social Media Day Detroit.
We do. This is the 8th annual Mashable Social Media Day Detroit. It's a global event. So various entities and various businesses, organizations put it on all over the world. So this particular event, Social Media Day Detroit, this year, we've received a lot of feedback from our community in the past that there was not a lot of education involved, and it was more of a party. So this time we're making it a full day conference with obviously a party. So from 3 to 6 p.m. open bar party, networking.
Challenge accepted.
They don't know us very well.
Right. We're allowed
open
to come at 7.
Bar.
Yeah.
Yes, but before that, we're going to have presentations. Jason Falls of Social Media Explorer. He's our keynote. And then we also have marketers from Quicken Loans. We have Identity, which manages Verizon Midwest,
yep,
the communications. And we have other brands that are going to be participating. It's going to be 4 speakers and 1 keynote. We have Eric Thomas from Saga Marketing.
We know Eric.
Has millions of views and shares and from his local blogs.
Dave writes it, crickets. Eric writes it, all the people read it.
Right.
Yeah, Time Magazine picked up some of his stuff. So, yeah, he's pretty amazing.
Hey, he's a good guy. No, he's been sitting right there a couple times, actually.
But very lively. I mean, his presentations are always incredibly remarkable. I think his for the event is something like You Can't Sell or Stop Selling, something like that. I'm sure there's an expletive in there somewhere.
Probably. It's, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it should be a great event. We're probably going to have over 100 participants.
Nice.
And a lot of them will be influencers, decision makers. And this is a very social media focused event. So we're going to have a lot of professionals that are digital communications pros there.
So I guess who should plan on, I guess, if they're not already, like what – are tickets still available? Can people still get there?
Absolutely.
Where is it?
Absolutely. So here's what we're going to do because we love IT and the D.
Yay.
I love your audience. We are going to allow 5 people to register immediately. And if you tweet right now or on Facebook, public post, and say you want to come and tag – SM Day DET in your post. It must be public if it's on Facebook, but you can also tweet us on Twitter.
Can I do it?
You can do it. Although you're not coming.
No, I will be during the day, actually. I just realized we're not leaving until 5.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, so, you should totally come down.
Yeah, I could totally get sauced up before I have to drive my kids to Cedar Point.
just
take an Uber.
Right.
Your turn, babe.
Yeah, so for the first 5 people that tweet or Facebook using the hashtag SMDayDET, you will get a complimentary ticket to attend.
Nice.
Yes. And for everyone else who would like to attend, we'll do a flash deal for you. So rather than our regular rate, which is $59 for members and $79 for non-members, we are going to give you a special price of $35 for admission.
Wow.
Which is an amazing steal for
Very
a full
cool.
day conference and a 3-hour
networking, open bar.
So yeah, like that's event. Like that's like the first 20 minutes of my bar.
Exactly. Is that? Do you need a coupon code for that, or what is?
Yes, yes. The coupon code is IT in the D.
Oh, you came prepared.
Yes,
nice. Rock, rock star.
And where do they? Where do they find the place to enter that?
Yeah, yeah. You can go to the SMAMI website, Social Media Association of Michigan. It's SMAMI. S as in snake, M as in Mary, A as in apple, M as in Mary, I as in intellectual.org.
Awesome. So, all right. So you've got keynote, couple of speakers,
four
bar,
speakers,
a bar. Like what else is going on in there?
So there's going to be a lot of networking. There's going to be vendors. So we've got Rocket Fiber as a vendor. We've got Yelp going to be there as a vendor. We've got a couple of tech companies that are going to be there that I can't disclose quite yet.
So we can leave the event a one-star review and then
right, check in. Leave it, yeah.
You're not.
I wouldn't.
Don't dare.
I wouldn't, I promise.
We'd have to call ourselves out on our own show.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, and I love that you guys taped the event that we had 2015, Social Media Day Detroit,
yeah,
which included 10 panelists, some really amazing people, Jay Cohen from DVP, Jill Ford from City of Detroit. And
oh, yeah,
really,
she was just in here, too.
Yeah, was she?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I haven't seen Jill in a while.
She's great, yeah.
Yeah, she's fantastic. We had Eddie from Rocket Fiber
there
as well. So this is basically kind of a continuation of that conversation, but we're focusing more on application, right?
Okay.
The umbrella topic is storytelling. So, and that is really the buzzword right now.
That's why Eric's there.
Yeah,
well, that's his thing, you know.
Eric is amazing at storytelling. And not just that, but executing his campaigns or his strategies in such a way that the stories cross channels, right? So it's the same voice and it's the same vision and goal that's communicated, but crafted for each different channel in a very strategic manner. So I think they just did the DIA.
Yeah.
They did a campaign for that, or even ongoing management for that.
Mm-hmm.
And really all of their, the video, the content is absolutely flawless. So yes, really incredible.
All that stuff that we don't understand.
Amazing speakers.
No, just blast stuff and then hopefully, you know, like, and that's the thing we always talk about. And I want to ask you this because for us, we're perplexed all the time. We're heavy social media users and we'll put out, hey, free job, free training. These companies want to hire you and get absolutely nothing. And then we'll put a Star Wars meme with Han Solo going, you know, in the Hoth scene, need anything? Going to Meijer during a snowstorm and we'll get 10,000 shares. It's so bizarre. We stop trying to understand it and figure it out. You know, I guess talk to me real quick on like how social media is evolving, because you think about it, it probably changes radically every 6 months, like something just
if
something new or something.
I would say day to day, actually. As far as feature sets go, there's something popping up on one of the major platforms, I would say, practically every day.
Well, Facebook's trying to be Snapchat, and Snapchat's trying to be Instagram, and Instagram's trying to be.
There's all that.
Yeah.
And then, part of me feels like Facebook is kind of turning like MySpace with a lot of just kind
it's
of
bad
distractions.
You're putting backgrounds on your posts and doing
that. No.
They're like three
no,
weeks away
no.
from a top eight.
Like, what's that, like gifts? Are we going to have like gifts all over?
Yeah.
You know? Are we going to
sparkles,
do that?
Sparkles. I want sparkles. My whole page.
Your
we
sparkle
have,
cursor?
We
yes.
have animated
you have
avatars
the mic cursor.
Now.
Yeah.
And we have animated, you know, cover photos now.
Yep.
And, you know, it's not like I'm necessarily against that. I think it's fantastic. But I also think it needs to be integrated into the platform in a way that makes sense. It's a platform that's specifically for connecting with your friends and family. So when brands are interjected into that, right, how do they communicate with their audience? And the reason that the Social Media Association of Michigan exists is to encourage brands to meet their audience where they are, to create content that matters to them. So less promo and more engagement.
So I would agree that it started off as a platform to hang with your friends and family. Mm-hmm. But I think that's changed over time because, well, dollars.
Advertising.
You know, yeah.
And when's it enough, too? Zuckerberg, when is it enough?
Never.
Well, now you have shareholders, so it's never enough.
Right.
Well, didn't he sell off $43 million of his shares?
Either 49 or 59. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah. Some crazy amount. Good for him.
I don't know what kind of signal that is, to be honest.
Some pocket change.
Possibly. When people start selling off their shares, it's usually not a great signal. A
couple islands he needed to buy.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah.
Why not?
But going back to your question, actually, because you said that, you know, Han Solo, the memes get more engagement than your, you know, there's a job here for you. But how what's the possibility of mashing those two together, right?
It's not. We tried.
Like Han Solo.
If it's serious, if it makes you chuckle, it gets shares. If it's something, if it's a meme going, hey, free job, click right here. Or like even if it was, even if it was partially funny, nothing. Like it's so bizarre to me. It shouldn't be bizarre to me because I'm the same way. If it makes me laugh, I like it. And if it doesn't make me laugh, I don't do anything. Which is.
Well, but it's weird because, I mean, you do. I mean, you think about our. Well, I mean, it's no different than the show. What we thought was our demographic has turned out to not be our demographic.
Really?
You know, and then.
In what way?
Well, I mean, so our.
Every time we tried to push and force something, it didn't work. And every time we just acted like us, it was fine.
Authentic.
Yeah. Not only that, but I mean, we assumed it was going to be like the same people that were at our events. And it was the. But yet, we keep running into school teachers that listen to us or like housewives or mechanics or
female audience members than you would.
We did a survey. It was 60-40 men, women.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. That was 1,000 respondents. So I figure that's a decent
amount.
Wow.
That's a decent sample size. Yeah.
It was crazy. So, we thought the Facebook page was going to be, you know, people that went to our meetups and that sort of thing. And typically people that are going to meetups, at least a good percentage of them are looking for a job. Mm-hmm. And so
we're just wanting to network.
Yeah. And so when we post stuff about, you know, hey, like our Career Academy thing, free training, the state's going to pay for certs, you know, it's all funded, go. And then that gets crickets.
I think it could be the manner in which it's communicated. Like, could it be Yoda saying, the best job you're passionate about, you deserve, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then post a link, right? It's a Yoda
certs
link.
We do.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. Would that be more aligned with your audience members, right? Would that float? So, I
feel like we got to put Soul on retainer.
Seriously.
You know, it's really understanding your audience, right? And if they're plugged into Star Wars, and I'm a total nerd, so I can IRC and all that and coding. Yeah, it's computers are my first love, I would say. So I think modifying these. Essentially, their visual images cause the most impact, right?
Yeah.
Video and graphics. So if you can attach a strong messaging to that identifies with your culture, with your audience, in a way that's authentic to you, it will absolutely have more engagement.
Now it's the two of us on our phones finding something funny and uploading it into Facebook and then walking away.
Nothing wrong with that either.
And then get notifications like 47 people liked it. We're like, oh my God, that worked.
So here's the thing. It's sounding like humor is what's connecting with your audience.
That's
the most,
almost always,
right?
Yeah.
So how can you bake this, you know, CTA, you know, call to action for these jobs with humor that's related to
you. Hey, you. Yes, the loser sitting on his couch.
Family Feud is the same episode as yesterday.
That's right. You're not.
Go get a job.
Exactly. You're not getting any closer to a job watching Judge Judy.
As funny as she may be. She makes $50 million a year.
I was going to say, she's not going to write you a job.
People complain about CEOs, yet Judge Judy makes $50 million a year.
She's smart, though.
It's that ad revenue, man.
I wouldn't go that far.
It's that ad revenue.
Totally.
I respect her.
So, I mean, it's, in terms of topics you guys are tackling, during the break, we started talking about social selling.
Yeah.
And it was a huge topic at my former employer. I guess how big of a is that part of what you guys are doing or what you're talking about? I guess let's dive into that real quick.
Absolutely. Well, on the consulting side, BTO Solutions is my consultancy. Social selling is one of our core competencies. But in general, social selling is also top of mind for a lot of social media marketers, and really how to execute it in a way that's not salesy, right? Because
that's the key.
A lot of people think social selling is promotions. You know, they don't really what it is about is developing relationships. You know, you're simply using a digital platform to develop those relationships and stay top of mind for your potential clients. That's really what social selling is.
It's one thing to engage. There's two people that do it very well. There's a guy who's a VP of CloudGenix I met at an event and I follow. He's from New York, but he always posts relevant stuff like, hey, I'm in Chicago. We're doing great thing with this company. You know, he's masterful at it. Then you have other people who – you know, at one point or another, take over my entire feed. Then when I run into them in person, I go, I hate you.
You are everything about you.
You are my LinkedIn feed. Will you stop? It's not relevant. You know, there's that tact line, and it's almost like at a networking event. It's the seems to me it's that person that comes home with a shoebox full of business cards.
Right.
You got no value out of what you just did, but you're going to go do it anyway. To me, it's the same principles apply with LinkedIn. Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of people are approaching social selling as if it's traditional sales. And traditional sales is all about numbers. It's not about connecting authentically and genuinely with your audience. It's all about numbers.
Sales guys are all judged on KPI. That's why. It's all – they'll argue. Like, I'm on KPI right now. Granted, they don't get granular like an inside sales rep, like with touches and, you know, but they're meetings that went to this point, meetings that, you know, like there's 8 stages of a sales call. Mm. I have to classify every company I talk to in one of those 8 stages.
Dude, I got like 5 notifications about it. So when we were at the Russell, we used to hate this day because the fireworks are downtown.
Right.
Apparently there's been a shooting.
In the rain?
Apparently.
For crying out loud. Welcome to Detroit.
Hey, 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 no. Welcome to extremely violent or even mentally unstable people doing bad shit.
Well, it's become a thing since the 80s. Since I've been a kid, there's been a shooting at fireworks.
You know, I think it's a lot of young kids, too, that can't contain, you know, anger or being disrespected or – I mean, you hear about these events where a guy gets denied by a woman and shoots up the whole bar, the whole club, right? So it's this like very fragile male ego thing.
Dave and I were just talking before about the – not to get too deep into this, but the mass shootings. And there's 2 things that were in common with all of them. One was domestic violence. The other one was on depression medication, right? But the majority of them were domestic violence, where they like hit, you know, their you know, domestic partner. Then they go.
Anyway, didn't want to derail this.
Yeah, nice going, Dave.
Hey, hope everybody that we know and everybody in general is safe. Get home. Yeah,
be safe, guys. Yeah.
Can you talk about Twitter? What the heck is it? Can you
explain it's the Game of Thrones of the internet.
Right.
140 characters have no idea what the hell is going on.
Hey, give Game of Thrones one prop.
What the hell is Twitter?
Love it.
No, hold on. I get it. If you're Pizza Hut or if you're Pepsi.
Right. Or Wendy's that owns Twitter.
Yeah, if you're George Clooney or an actor or whatever. But like for Bob and Dave, sorry, I didn't mean to talk about myself in the third person. But like for communicating, like why don't you just email me? Why do you Twitter me a message?
Well, and it's weird. Like to me.
Text me. You know me.
The biggest like, issue.
You know me.
The biggest issue I've always had with Twitter is that every time I open it, it's like drinking from the fire hose. Like there's just.
Isn't that the social network though? Like fast,
honestly, no. Like, and I don't know. Like, maybe it's just because I haven't spent the time to figure out how to organize, sort, and all that fun stuff on Twitter.
I have seven columns.
Like with Facebook, and you know, because like everything else, I've pretty much got segregated down, and I'm happy. But like Twitter, like literally opening that app is just like instant information overload. Like the little, you've got 12,000 new, you know, tweets to look at. I close it. Like that's overload.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you use management systems, if you use
I use TweetDeck.
Suite or TweetDeck, you can actually build streams that you're interested in. So that's kind of a way to parse. You know,
I tried to do hashtag Detroit once, and it was like just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah,
it just didn't
stop.
I want to do
2 hashtags.
We do. I do my name. I do IT and the D, and I do Podcast Detroit, and I do I think that's it.
Do you have Google alerts for that as well?
Yeah. The Google alerts for IT and the D, we always get in the D League. Like we get,
or he did it in the D League,
right?
Or
right.
You know, he's killing it in the D League.
D League basketball, NBA. That's we get a one every day for IT
the
Dealers.
Quotes around it.
We do.
So, yeah,
we do it two ways, spaced out and then together.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
And they give it to us so that yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of funny.
All the fun. All right, so I guess getting back to Friday, so you said it was going to be more learning based on the feedback that you got.
Yeah.
So what sort of are there different tracks? Is it just like a single room with interchanging sessions?
Well, it's going to be one keynote speaker. This is a condensed version of the Social Con conference that we've hosted in Ann Arbor and Frankenmuth.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember those.
Yep, and those were very robust agendas. So we would have a keynote, we would have a series of presentations, and then we would have breakout workshops after that. But with this being the first integration of Social Con and Social Media Day, we want to give people a good blend of education and then a decent amount of the party aspect. So
Makes sense.
Why there's going to be an open bar. There's probably going to be performances. And then we want to send them off because it's going to end at 6 p.m. We want to send them off into Greektown. We're going to have a very, very good experience there. You know, all the folks that are coming into town as well can experience the city. So that's our goal for this event, a more condensed education format. And then the 3-hour party at the end. And obviously, there's going to be sponsors, vendors, and networking in between all over during the event.
Can we ban everyone from tweeting quotes from the people speaking and then hashtagging?
No.
Nobody listens. No. Nobody listens. They only listen for that quotable thing they can tweet. I'm looking at
tweetable.
You. I'm looking at you, Jeremiah.
yeah.
From hashtag Daily Detroit.
We got to have you on a panel, by the way, or speaking, Jeremiah.
He'll be there with us.
Nice.
Yeah.
He doesn't listen to a thing except looks up quotable. Like,
Social media.
He's got
events?
His iPad in front of his face.
Yeah, totally.
He's filming everything.
iPad mini.
iPad mini because he's filming everything.
Social media events are the only events where it's completely appropriate for you to be looking at your screen the whole time while you're having a face-to-face discussion with someone.
That was what was her face? Shannon that came to one of our events.
Shannon Paul.
Yeah, Shannon Paul. And she's like looking down at her screen. She didn't look up for 1 minute, and she's texting on how great of an event it is. Like, you haven't talked to one person this whole.
God, that was one of the events at the Blackfin years ago.
I totally
remember that.
Well, we're in social too. It's like not just. Like visual, it's not just experiential, but it's also like the content, right, that you're getting from digital. So, yeah, it could be the best event she was experiencing based on the stream, you know, based on seeing people she knew, you know, based on hearing things as well. Because, you know, women are kind of good at multitasking.
So we're not.
There's that.
No, we're not. We're way too simple creatures.
All right. Well, hey, so it's smami.org where people can find out about the tickets. And it's code IT in the D.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Friday. It ends at 6. It starts when?
It starts at 8:30. That's when breakfast is. The first presentation starts at 9.
Okay.
And we wrap up the presentations at 3 o'clock.
And it's where? I don't think we hit that.
It's at the Athenaeum. Okay. In Greektown.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Athenaeum, yes.
I've been saying Athenaeum all these years.
You've had incorrect syllabulum
phosphorus. I'm totally calling it the Athenaeum. I don't care.
Well, now you know.
So before we part ways, I got to pick your brain a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't want to say what's next because that's an awful question. But like it's for terms of trends going on, you know, you see stuff pop up and go away. Snapchat, I think, is one of those ones I'm still trying to figure out. In terms of a platform, because I don't like the idea of things going away.
Mm-hmm.
The whole story, you know, if you're going to post a story like Instagram, mm-hmm. I get. But like what's net in terms of trending? Is there that thing that's kind of like, you know, LO or, you know, something coming up that we don't really ever, we know about everything going
on? I'm pretty
on
sure
right
it's
now?
Not LO.
I know.
Definitely
you know
not LO.
I know, I'm just saying.
I think what's trending right now is video. And I think what's like live streams, Periscope did it very well until Facebook introduced it. And Facebook is really taking over that space. So live streaming, video content, that's really the next phase. And how it's going to evolve is really, we can't completely comprehend it. I feel like we're moving closer to the Minority Report. We're talking about predictive analytics.
But not like video, because video, I think Facebook Live, frankly, sucks.
To be honest, the tech is I think they're still working on it.
Yeah, I don't, because I want to, like, Netflix, I want to slide forward and back, and it's you're stuck, and there's nothing going on. Or like, I got a 3 second attention span because I got ADHD.
Well, you can, but after the fact.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, did you guys see our interview with Jason Falls?
Uh-uh.
So you can have a 2-person Facebook Live now. So it can be kind of like what was that? There's a certain platform. Right? It sunsetted before Periscope blew up.
Vine? No, it was
like a multi-person.
Google Hangouts. It's kind of the same principle.
Yeah. Love Google, but not so much Hangouts.
Right.
I think they're definitely still trying to finesse their video and their live stream experience. YouTube now has a live stream experience that we're going to be implementing into our tactics moving forward.
You know, we've looked at that for some of the events that we do because it's got the whole live stream. You can make it an event and you can make it.
What I still love about Periscope, though, is that you can see global events, right? Yeah, you can tap into any recording or any live stream that's going on. I remember around the time of the France, the terrorism, the shooting in France. And, you know, I was really immersed in the conversations, and essentially you're looking at what's happening through another person's eyes, right? And could this be integrated into AI some way where maybe there's cameras?
Speaking of Google,
right?
You know? Where I mean, it's kind of Big Brother and all of that. But
speaking of live video and having to shoot the video, it's amazing. There was a shot today of was it Six Flags in New York? You know, like the little cups that go across the park at Cedar Point that are the most scariest ride in the whole entire park. Some girl slipped.
Saw that.
One. And here you have 5 people filming and like 5 guys trying to help her catch.
Right.
It's like, what's your first instinct to like pull out my camera? Like, what in the world? And then there's that plane where almost everyone thought they were going to die. And, you know, everyone's praying or hugging or holding each other. Pull out your camera and film it.
But first, let me take a selfie.
But here's the thing, too. I think it's incredibly powerful what we have now for digital communications and video, especially in live streaming. You know, the Philando? Castile case where that shooting occurred. Her boyfriend was shot and immediately she jumped on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
You know, and if that hadn't happened, where she was on Facebook Live and people saw this, you know, how much media attention would it have gotten?
She got and she got trashed for it too. It's like, what's your first instinct? Pull out my camera and start filming, or I put some pressure on the wound.
You know, honestly,
if I was her, I wouldn't have gone anywhere near whatever was happening with the guy that just got
That would have been my first. I would have been the worst. If that would that's me, there's no way I'm pulling my phone out. I wouldn't know what I'd freak out.
Here's the thing, though. A lot of these events that have happened, you know, with Black Lives Matter, a lot of them are really they gain traction because there was that video taken.
Rodney King, it would never have been a thing if it was no video.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And can you imagine how many incidents? You know, I mean, regardless of race, really, it's really about police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you?
Yeah.
Know how
had
many
there been a
these,
camera.
How many of these go completely, you know, unnoticed or under the radar because there's no evidence, there's no video,
or they can get squashed because there's no video.
Exactly. So this is why these the front-facing cameras on police are extremely important. The cameras integrated into vehicles are very important.
Absolutely.
It's a curve, you know. So a lot of law enforcement institutions do not have this yet.
Well, and for some reason, they seem to malfunction.
Or they cover the camera, the camera. So, I think social and digital communications, they're very, very important. Syria, you know, for instance, and just getting the word out, you know, and these countries and cities where they block, you know, media from coming in and going out. You know, they censor them.
Right, we've talked about that where, like, basically, I mean, Aaron has said, you know, we're not giving any more IP addresses to countries that block social media.
Right.
Yeah. It's a lot of movements have been started from social. So, I mean, as far as what's trending and where it's going, with Snapchat especially, you know, you'd be like, you're really involved.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't get it. So here's the thing with Snapchat. So even though they're ethereal, that's the way I pronounce it, right?
Yeah.
Ethereal, it's there for a short time and then it disappears. That creates a sense of urgency right? So these usually ages skew younger. They're constantly on there, you know, posting and communicating with their friends. It's really more they're expressing their lifestyles.
I see it as an like a SMS plus. Right. For me, it's I'm texting you, but I'm also sending a picture and I'm putting text on it. And I'm putting like bear ears on me.
But it's multimedia. It's
but I don't see it as like when these like stories like when you look down, there's like all the events and covering the events. And like I don't see it as that because it goes away. And to me, it loses its power, I think.
Well, stories stay on Snapchat. If you're adding clips to your story, it stays for 24 hours.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So but another thing that you can do is you can actually save your clips, any of your content from Snapchat. And what we suggest that clients do is that they repurpose that content so it's not just living on Snapchat and doesn't disappear after 24 hours because it's a story. And if the story is aligned with your brand, it can be distributed across any channel.
Interesting. So, hey, before we cut you loose, one last plug for Friday.
One last plug for Friday. Well, you guys absolutely do not want to miss this event. We're going to give you a ton of value for as little as $35 for you
crazy,
IT
yeah.
in the D folks. You know, use the code IT in the D. You'll get a $35 entrance. You get a full day conference, breakfast, lunch, and a 3-hour open bar. So we would love to have you guys there. Social and IT and coding and tech go hand in hand, and marketers always want to work in the best and most effective way possible with the IT department and vice versa. Because when it can be done symbiotically and cohesively, magic happens.
Very Indeed. True.
Sola, thank you for hanging out with us. We really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you for having me.
And this is going to wrap up episode 202 of the IT and the D Show. I'd like to thank Sola Obayan for hanging out with us. Also, like to thank our sponsors, Couchbase, Norton, Carvana, and HelloFresh.
Well, and don't forget, Thursday night, we're over at Selena's for the podcaster meetup. And
tearing up a local sports bar.
Yeah, that'll be amazing. And then July 11th, we're at Ann Arbor at Connor O'Neill's. And July 20th, we're at Nancy Whiskey.
Awesome. So on behalf of Bob and Dave from IT and the D, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You guys got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
Emergency disrupt system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.